Good evening. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska, and this is Speak Up on Alaska, KUCB's public affairs call-in program. And this week, I'm sitting here with Mayor Shirley Marquardt. Thanks for getting in on time on your plane. Join us.
It only took 3 days, but I'm glad to be home. Thanks.
And City Manager Chris Laddick.
Thanks, Anne, for having us.
Thanks for coming. I'm Anne Hillman with KUCB, the news department. And let's get started with the call-in program. So, a lot of people have actually already submitted questions to us. We have 14 different questions submitted by various listeners. So let's jump in. Anybody else who has more questions, though, please feel free to call us at 581-2161. We can either write down your question and bring it in here, or you can be live on air talking directly to your city officials. It's again 581-2161. So, first question is, with the new projects going on in town, like the PCR expansion, small boat harbor, and the new powerhouse, and the slow decline of the pollock fishery and the drastic reduction of boats participating in the crab fisheries due to the city council-approved crab rationalization, and the incredible revenue losses to the city dock, how will the city sustain its current operating levels? It's obvious that this is a one-horse town, and that horse is getting tired and worn out. Which facilities will the city shut down first, and how will that decision be made? Chris?
That's a long question. Let's see. So how will we maintain our operations right now?
Current operating levels.
Our current operating levels for next year probably aren't going to change much. We are expecting the year after this next one that pollock will come back, and there's some crab numbers that are starting to come back as well. So we look at trends over the long term, not just in a couple of years. And we think the fishery is sustainable and will continue. Now, what was the next part of that question?
The second part of it is, which facilities will the city shut down first, and how will that decision be made?
I don't think we'll have to shut down any facilities at this point. I think if people have heard about city finances, we have some pretty big projects going on right now, and we probably will end up having to dip into some of our reserves. And we've known these projects have been coming for a long time, and we've been saving up our money.
So dipping into the reserves doesn't in and of itself present any problems?
No, you just have to be careful what you are planning for the next 5 years and, try to make the best decisions possible.
I think that this person was also trying to get at, is there any way that we're trying to diversify the income into the city?
Not at present. I think that's a hard, because we are a one-horse town, that's kind of hard to do. I know that just recently you guys had an article on KUCB about the fiber optics maybe coming over the pole from Europe and ending up in Japan. That could be a huge impact to the city for alternative businesses with the high-tech information that we'd have access to. I don't know exactly what the spinoff businesses might be for that, but the city may be providing power as a booster station for that signal. And so that would be a base load for our powerhouse, which would end up being a good thing for the ratepayers of the community.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I'd say that the city is definitely looking out for possible oil and gas exploration in the Chukchi Sea and the Beaufort Sea, particularly with Shell Oil. There's other companies out there, but their name comes to the forefront. We've been in contact with them just within the last several months, a couple of times, just again asking them, when you know what your plans are, when you have an idea what you're doing, let us know as soon as possible so that we can work and make this work with our busy fisheries in the summer as well. And I think there's some really good opportunities and possibilities for local landowners and businesses here in this community if they do, in fact, go up this summer. And I think that they're going to. So basically we can just encourage marine traffic to use our community, to not just use our port, but to use the community and the services here as well.
All right. The next question is specifically for Mr. Laddick. Ports had two event shows that were budgeted for and then canceled by management. What were the reasons to cancel these shows since the Ports Department was trying to attract more vessels and hence more revenue to the community?
Which show are you talking about?
The question just said two different event shows that the ports planned on going to advertise.
I guess we're looking at the fact that they were $350,000 shy of meeting their revenues, and you have to analyze what where people go and how they spend their money.
So it was just cut for budget reasons?
Yeah. Was it the Seattle boat show?
Okay. But that leads directly to the next question. The Ports Department is facing some tough financial times with the new cold storage facility and lost revenues from ships unloading cargo at the UMC dock. Council provided direction to staff to pursue oil industry vessels along with other sources of revenue. How is staff promoting our facilities to increase business?
Whenever we hear, like, when Shell is coming to town, have talked to North Star just yesterday about it. They would like to possibly use the light cargo dock, but the issues there are we need a letter from Shell saying what they want. And so we're willing to work with any oil company to help increase revenues, but we also need to know from them what they want and when they want it, because we have seafood industry participants who say 60 days from now we're going to be at the dock at noon, and they are here. So the last time Shell was here, they wanted to just come on the dock and stay for 5 days or 6 days, and we just couldn't do that. So we're working with them to facilitate what they need. They just need to tell us what they need ahead of time.
So you need a firm commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing things to try to get business from other places, other venues, other than just oil and gas?
You know, people know we're here. We're a major seaport in the Aleutian Islands for vessels that are in transit, innocent passage vessels, anything that may be coming over the pole. We're a known entity, and we do market ourselves with the website, and when we're in the Fisheries Management Council meetings, when we're in D.C. with the different agencies and legislators, and any business that we hear that is possibly going to be doing business in this region, we reach out to and connect to make sure that they know how to talk with the folks at the Harbor Office, how to ask questions of Mr. Laddick if they want to set things up, where to find business contacts. So, you know, for me, I'll just take the Seattle Boat Show. I would be hard-pressed to find a big bang for the buck for the city of Unalaska to send folks down to the Seattle Boat Show when we don't get those small boaters out here. And it's not a target customer, I guess, for Unalaska, where we do spend our time. And our effort on is in the seafood industry and in the oil and gas industry and in the tourism industry, and for those folks that we know would be coming and utilizing our port.
Okay. So sticking on the topic of finances for the city, this question was aimed specifically for Shirley. How do you make sure that council travel money is properly used and that council members actually attend the conferences or other meetings they're supposed to attend? And then how can people find the trip reports online?
Well, the trip reports are easy to find. They're posted by the clerk's office as soon as they get them from the traveling council members. And I think the policy, I think it says within 14 or 15 days within travel that they should be posted. And it is completely up to the individual council members to responsibly spend the city's money. I'm the mayor, but I'm not the babysitter. They are the policymakers. That's their policy that they set on travel and they voted on. So if council members feel or somebody feels that a council member may have not followed the policy, they should bring it to the attention of that council member and ask them for that information.
And then what happens if a trip report isn't filed within the time, or if it turns out that the person didn't attend the conference?
The council hasn't put that in their policy. They don't address that.
So
if council chooses to bring the travel policy back, they could definitely address that and find some way to, I guess, to police. I don't think we're talking about a large issue here, but my sense is that if the majority of council feels that there needs to be teeth in their policy, that they have would request, hey, bring it back. Mayor, put it on the table, and we want to talk about it and change it, and I'd be happy to do so.
Okay. Another general question. Some of the nonprofits in town have been advised to expect an increase of up to 25% for employee health insurance costs. How can the city help local nonprofits deal with rising insurance costs, or can they?
Well, the city, the council, traditionally funds the nonprofits pretty much at their requested levels. If they trim anything, it's usually very minimal. And then it's, you know, it's up to the board of the nonprofit to spend their money wisely so that the money that they've asked for, they might, you know, put off purchasing a piece of equipment or bringing in a performer if they have to pay these other costs. But, you know, it's up to them. The city just gives the money and they spend it.
Okay. Another question. All of these, again, are from people who have called in or written in earlier today. And here's your chance to call in right now, 581-2161. We can ask your questions live or have them written down, and I'll ask them for you. So this is another question that was written in earlier today. In the past, letters from the public were made public at the council meetings and also in hard copy form. Shouldn't this still be the practice in today's environment where so many things can be hidden in emails or in websites where they're not open or easily visible to the community? So do you make comments from the public? Do you make them available in an easy-to-access format?
Well, since we've gone to electronic packets, we're doing, I think, two packets that are printed out on the back table. So I'm not familiar with...
Is this, when you say public comment, is this something that somebody would have written in or asked? I'm not sure. Or is this a letter written?
Letters from the public. So people who
letters
have written.
Letters from the public.
Yeah. And those are typically included in – are all of those typically included in council packets?
I can't remember the last time we've had one.
I can't remember the
last
letter I've gotten.
But yeah, if somebody from the public wants to write a letter to the council or mayor and council or city manager about a specific issue, if it's not about personnel or HR, something that you legally can't talk about, and they don't mind, some people don't want, they'll write something and the last thing they want to see is their letter with their name on it out in the public. So mm-hmm. I guess it would be up to the letter writer.
So does that means that not all communication between the public and no. Council members and mayor have to be public. Are there any rules in terms of...
No, I've never seen any rules or policies about that.
Okay. So things that public members of the public intend to be public are generally included with the relevant council packets.
Oh, I think I see what you're asking. Yeah, if they're writing in on an issue that's before the council, yeah, that absolutely should be in the packet. And it's my understanding. That's when I've seen them in there. But just a general, if people are going to email a member of the council or me, I think I've maybe had 5 emails in 5 years. And I just responded back to the folks with the information. Had they said, you know, can you bring this, read this to the public, I'd be happy to do so.
Okay. All right. Another question. Why didn't the utilities department or the consulting group on wastewater and water usage talk to the major water users in the community before taking recommendations to the council? This did not allow council to make well-informed decisions on increasing rates. How is staff going to correct that problem? Did they take – I mean –
You know, I'm not sure because I think they're referring to the wastewater study, and I believe there were some comments about that Pollock is going to go back up, and when Pollock goes back up, the revenues are going to go back up, but not necessarily on wastewater. I'd have to look into that. Usually they do. Consultants do talk to the major users, whether it's electric or water. So I have to check up on that and see if it was or wasn't done.
Okay. And how many of the major processing companies here use city wastewater?
I think they all do.
They all do?
They all do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The writer of the question was curious if you're going to change the problem or change the rates at all.
I don't think we're going to change the rates at this point. They're just in place for 1 year. And so you could be adjusted for the next year. But our consultants should talk to the major users. I agree with that.
Okay.
So we'll make sure that happens.
All right.